2016 Oklahoma Farm Bureau Convention winding down now, and we're talking with the president of Oklahoma Farm Bureau, Tom Buchanan. Tom, your delegates had an opportunity to speak to a variety of resolutions. What kind of stuck out in your mind as far as things that were basically being told by the delegates to your lobbying staff?
Oh, certainly, Ron. I would tell you that we certainly have reestablished many of our concrete or core beliefs, those private property rights, absolutely being able to use those to whatever that landowner feels is appropriate, as long as he doesn't harm his neighbor. Kind of reestablished a few of those. There was certainly some wind stuff in there. And then one of the more interesting ones from my standpoint was, are we stretched a little bit and got outside Oklahoma some, which we normally do too. But in this instance, there's some FSA loan application, so to speak, for those beginning farmers or young farmers that is in danger, not from the program itself, but not adequate funding, as we see many times out of D.C., and then also a real timing issue. So I was pretty excited and proud of members reaching out to that next generation and trying to help with that issue, trying to kind of speed up federal government on those programs and make sure that that's available for people when they need it.
I think priority was used at least a couple of times, one on feral hogs and one on, I believe, on the extension issue.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. As I said, we reestablished many of our existing, so to speak, and confirmed those, and feral hogs is one. As long as that invasive species is doing the damage that it is to landowners and private property owners across the state, then that issue needs to be addressed front and center as far as our members are concerned. And certainly the county extension, that education issue, we believe is paramount. Not only for our people, but for the rest of Oklahoma. And so having that county extension agent and that educator on that local level, knowing those needs and how to communicate those is very important to us.
On the feral hogs, I know we're continuing to see rules and regs being developed and a plan developed. Wildlife Department is now involved in it as well. So are you pleased with where the progress has been to this point?
You can never be opposed to progress. Certainly, we believe that we're heading in the right direction. We're not there yet, as far as our member body says. The Wildlife Department, it's a good thing that state agency is trying to help with this, but I hope that we're not confusing the issue here and that wildlife being involved now, I hope, is not leading us to where that this invasive species loses that invasive species, so to speak, status and becomes a protected animal or whatever we would want to call it, a regulated animal, because this animal is certainly a feral animal. It is invasive. It needs to be treated that way, just as we would a noxious weed or an insect that is invasive to crop and those types of things. So we're proud of the progress. We know there needs to be more.
Mm-hmm. Yesterday, your presidential address, you said it wasn't going to be a speech as much as just some reflections, and you really kind of bared some of your soul, some of your thoughts about the aftermath of State Question 777.
I'll tell you what, if there's one thing that being that deeply involved in a state question as our membership was, that it'll do for you, it will teach you a lot about yourself. We believed that that was absolutely the right thing to do and still do. Right to farm is very, very necessary for the state of Oklahoma. And I would just let your listeners or hope that they realize that that's the very same time that Oklahoma Farm Bureau and the other ag groups in the state of Oklahoma were warning Oklahoma about what could possibly happen here, mm-hmm. and therefore the need for right to farm, that same exact election cycle, Massachusetts, mm-hmm. Voters amended their constitution to really start down the path of reducing and restricting animal protein for the diets of Massachusetts people. And that's exactly what we say can happen, will continue to happen. So, yes, it was a very long learning experience. It did cause you to sit back and reflect. We realized that we have a good big job in front of us at educating the rest of Oklahoma, and that's our responsibility, and we will continue doing that.
Seemed like, and you alluded to this, that there was a little bit of a disconnect between what modern production agriculture is today and what the perception was out in urban areas and even in some of our rural communities.
Absolutely, Ron. One thing that's been absolutely confirmed for me now is that the Oklahoma's family farmers and ranchers are doing an excellent job down on the farm, back at the ranch, raising food for the rest of Oklahoma, doing an exceptional job, a safe job, an abundant job. It's affordable food supply. But at the same time, we have done such a good job of that, and the population has changed from rural to urban, that people really don't know anymore what truly is happening on the farm and ranch. They don't know why it's being done that way. But most importantly, I don't think that the rest of consumers understand that it's very good for them what's being done.
Do you think that, you know, and you kind of mentioned this as well, that there at the toward the end of the election cycle, in other words, the last 3-4 weeks, there was a realization that some of the messages that we were putting out, the pro 777 side was putting out, was maybe too positive in some way. I mean, you know, that I won't say that you needed to go negative, but yet it seems like maybe some answering of some of the anti-777. It seems like you started to do some soul searching about that.
I will tell you that our members and all of agriculture, when we started this process, said we wanted to have a very positive, fact-based message that we delivered to our fellow Oklahomans, and we did that. The opposition co-opted that message. They really went negative on it and with significant half-truths. And, Ron, what we learned is that we have to be able to respond to those half-truths. I don't believe Oklahoma agriculture will ever get in the mudslinging business, but we do know now, it's confirmed for us, that there is an adequate, timely response when a half-truth, when fear-mongering is there. We're required to do that, if nothing else, just standing up for yourself, but also getting the truth out there so people can hear it and understand it.
From reflecting what you've learned from this whole process, what's the what's the preparation for that next battle, you think?
Well, it's an excellent question. I'll tell you, as I was coming to Oklahoma City from Altus there Thursday morning, I was still frustrated myself. I was wondering how my membership, the people that make up Oklahoma Farm Bureau, what their feelings were going to be. And I will tell you, I'm greatly encouraged as I walk the hall, as I sit in on meetings, as I have discussions with groups or individuals. Frustration is there with them, too. But they are even more rallied, more ready to continue the effort. They see the great need. They understand that while we're calling it right to farm, while we're calling it agriculture, in reality, this is a consumer choice issue. This is America, where freedom of choice has always been there, and we believe that needs to continue. So I'm greatly encouraged. Our membership is looking forward. Certainly, we need to let the dust settle a little bit. Let's continue to learn a little more. Let's build a little better strategy. But I will tell you that Oklahoma Farm Bureau is still here. We'll be here. Rural Oklahoma. Oklahoma agriculture needs an advocate, and we're going to be that moving forward.
One of the great things I thought that you shared with the group was the fact that there was a lot of great conversation going on in the social media. It seems like we've seen some guys really rise up.
Well, Ron, I know this is radio, and some of your viewers have seen me, but those that haven't, I'll readily admit that I am a graybeard. I will tell you that I struggle with the social media myself. I got to get better. But I was absolutely amazed at the power and the reach and the stretch of social media. I was greatly encouraged, and it's just unbelievable how our members, especially the members from probably 45 on down, grabbed hold of that, started to use it, and really have exposed a great opportunity for us to reach out to other Oklahomans through that social media deal. It's an excellent tool. We just need to fine-tune it and learn to use it even better.